Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, hour number three, Tuesday edition. I hope all of you are having fantastic early parts of your week. I stayed up late last night, by the way, watching Yellowstone, which I've been trying to get Buck to watch. Season four just debuted on Sunday.
I'm deep into Narcos, my man.
Oh, I was a Narcos guy back in the day. You know, the subtext of everything Yellowstone is just Montana is beautiful, right? I know they shoot a lot of that, and my understanding is in the Park City area of Utah. But everything is so majestic about that show. It's fun. Stayed up late watching that last night. And I've been looking at the data, Buck. And I think this is an important bit of data. We tweeted it out. We did a story about it at OutKick. And it drove the blue checks crazy. I could barely keep up with all the blue check anger on social media when we popped this story on OutKick. And I've seen a lot of other places writing about it as well. And the data reflects that even though Florida is usually Ron DeSantis, they have Death Santis trend and they come after him because of all the freedoms that Florida has had and how little restrictions there are. And there's no mask mandate. And how dare they not have a COVID vaccine mandate. And right now, as I'm looking at the New York Times most updated data, Florida has the lowest rate of COVID infection. This is per capita, per 100,000 people in the entire United States. Okay. States that have substantial restrictions, like where you are, Buck, in New York, and where a lot of our listeners are in California, the COVID infection rate in New York right now, New York State, is triple what it is in Florida. And it is over double in California what it is in Florida as well. Plus, California, in the past 14 days, cases are up 61%. And in the past 14 days in New York, cases are up 11%. In the past 14 days, Florida is down 20%. So not only is Florida way better in terms of COVID cases per 100,000 people than both New York and California, the two states, populous states with the most restrictive COVID requirements, the trend lines are actually getting worse for New York, Buck, and worse for California relative to Florida. Yet there are almost no stories, New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, the blue check brigade refuses to acknowledge this reality.
When we first were fighting against lockdowns.
Yes.
Right.
When we
were
Long time ago now.
I know, Clay, it feels like this has been quite a saga, right?
We've had many wars that lasted less time than COVID has in the United States.
When I remember, and you remember back in like March, April period of 2020, because I was pushing for, and I got absolutely, you know, people piling on, you want people to die on social media.
Oh, yeah.
Because I said, Easter Sunday of 2020,
it's done.
We go back to life. Like, we do what we can. Keep those at high risk. Protect the nursing homes. Keep people who are at high risk home fine. But basically, everybody under 65 or under 60 needs to just deal with the fact that this is life and the masks aren't going to save us.
Yes.
And everyone went crazy. Okay. They were initially telling us that these things that we've been made to do the whole time, the masking, the social distancing, the Lysoling the groceries, the shutting down public playgrounds and making people not able to go to the beach and mask up outdoors and mask up on the jogging trail, that it was going to, remember this, crush the virus, right?
Yes.
Flatten the curve. That was the promise. And I want to remind everybody, that's how they got us to go along with this as a society, was in the promise that it would be massively successful and impactful for us to do this. The effect of it would be tremendous. We had Walensky, right? The same kind of stuff. 80% reduction in transmission. There were pieces written in May and June of 2020 about how masking would stop all this. Clay, now we're at the point where they've had to completely recalibrate all this. So they look at Florida, they look at California, they'll try to find some way to say, oh, marginally things in California are a little bit better. They pretend they didn't tell us it was going to be massively better, and they don't take into account, look at all the stuff that they've been doing. Look at the craziness they've put us through. The frustration, the economic devastation, the drug overdoses, the mass hysteria, the enormous increase in people that need anxiety meds to get through the day because they're so terrified of COVID, giving shots to their five-year-old kids. All of that stuff needs to also, in a sense, be the data here. The fact that California and Florida are basically neck and neck, so to speak, with COVID shows that Fauciism is a massive failure and
yes,
clearly the wrong move from the very beginning.
No doubt. And this is why federalism has been so important. And you've heard us beat this drum. But for a guy like Ron DeSantis in Florida, and there have been other red state governors as well, but I'm going to use DeSantis because he's the focal point very often for the criticism. But for the choices that he made, there would be no ability to have a comparison, right? If every state had done what New York and California did, which is what the Biden administration would have had occur if they'd had their choice, then there would be no control group where you'd be able to say, wait a minute, the masking and the kids being out of school, because remember, California didn't allow kids to go back to school. New York didn't allow kids to go back to school. In 2020, in the fall, in August of last year, all the kids in Florida were back in school, the whole state. They played all high school sports. They played, they had totally normal life. I know I'm a property owner in Florida. Buck, you've been thinking about it.
No, I own property
in Florida.
Now too. Yeah, I just don't live there. Sure.
Yes. All right, so I spend a couple of months a year in Florida. I'm going to be down there next week, and then I'm going to be down there for Thanksgiving.
Are you building a little Buck guest house, by the way, sir? Do I have to talk to Mrs. Travis to get approval?
We are going to have, by the time this thing gets through, and Mrs. Travis is in charge of all the building regimen, by the time this place gets through, we're building a studio that I'll be able to use, and I'll let you be able to use it, too. You can come down to Florida and hang out in the studio. It's going to be an awesome studio in Florida, so I can do the exact same thing there as I do in Nashville. But last year, Buck, I went and spent the whole month of May in Florida. My kids were out of school. Everybody was out. We had 15 days to stop the spread, everything else. Went down there, and if Ron DeSantis doesn't make the choices that he does, I really think, and certainly Greg Abbott talking about populist states that have been willing to defy the mask and vaccine mandates, if that doesn't happen, then there is very little pushback against Fauciism. And we wouldn't have the ability to call them out and say all of this virtue signaling, all this cosmetic theater is worthless. You haven't done anything except to destroy the economy with no benefit.
One thing that when I get asked, how do you, you know, I do public speaking, you do public speaking in different places to actually, you know, see people in the flesh, not just do radio, right? One thing that people often ask me, especially younger college age folks, people in their 20s, how do you win debates with leftists, right? This is a constant thing that people will ask, understandably, because they're frustrated too with the lack of rationality and the lack of logical argument that they're, it's always, you know, that's racist or like you're evil or, you know, all that stuff. And I say to them, ask them what would be, this is just one tactic. I mean, everyone has their different things. Ask them what it would take for them to, what data or what would have to be true for them to change their minds.
Yeah.
Because what you'll find that's fascinating is it's never even occurred to them that it's possible for them. There's no scenario in which many people on the left would even consider the possibility of being wrong such that they can't even think of what it would take for them to actually change their mind, right? Just assuming that I could make whatever it is true. And I think that that's where we are on COVID. Because if you ask somebody who believed Fauci from the beginning, for example, and Fauci's just, he's the most visible manifestation of this, right?
I mean, yes.
You know, maybe he is to, you know, communism what Stalin was. Like, he's at the very top. I mean, that's a little harsh, but you get what I'm saying, right? He's the guy that we associate the most with it. And what would it take for people at this point to realize that he's been wrong over and over? And there actually are some articles now in so-called mainstream publications about Fauci's gotten a lot of stuff wrong. The CDC, those folks have gotten a lot of stuff wrong. What would it take, Clay, for people to realize they're going to keep getting stuff wrong because this is who they are?
That's a fantastic question, Buck, because it's the underlying question we've been asking and I think are going to have to continue to ask for months into the future. How do we land the plane? Okay, let's presume that we are up in the air right now. We're flying around, and we know that at some point, we have to land the airplane. What is an acceptable way for the Fauciites to ever allow us to land the plane? Ooh, what has to happen?
We actually have the White House, through a spokesperson,
we have an answer?
Being asked how they land the plane. And Clay, you'll be happy to know, it is a robust and fantastic answer from them.
Do you have an idea of when the pandemic could become an endemic, could cease to be a pandemic? And what does the end game look like at this point?
Yeah, I do not know. I would refer you to public health experts, the CDC. That's not something that we're zeroing in on. Our focus is to make sure we do everything we can to save lives and get people vaccinated.
Okay. No, it's actually the White House. It's not the CDC. Like, that's supposed
but
to
that's the single most important question. And she's not able to answer it. If you aren't looking into the future and saying, how do we land the plane? It's great when you're flying around in the air, right? Like the Biden White House, oh, look at those clouds. We're just going to cut through them. Everything's great. You're going to run out of fuel at some point. Things on the ground get safe enough for you to land the plane. What are the circumstances? This is a question. I know we got a lot of people in the media who listen to us. This is a question, I don't see it as being partisan remotely, Buck, that you should be asking and grilling people in positions of power for. What are the metrics by which you believe normalcy can occur? What do you not see now that you need to see in the future for kids not to wear masks,
but
for everything to get back to normal?
Clay, I also think, though, there's a fundamental misunderstanding here of how all this is supposed to work from a government perspective. The CDC is advisory.
Yes.
The White
yes.
House is what is pushing OSHA to the vax mandates. The White House is what is telling
we
the FAA.
The White right. House, theoretically. We didn't elect the CDC.
They're the deciders. I like that Bushism. They're the deciders, right? They're the ones that actually have to they are making these choices, being held accountable. They pretend that it's the science. They pretend that it's the CDC so that then they don't have to deal with the political blowback and consequences. They've created this cult of the CDC and Fauciism as though they're the people that get to make the calls. No, they're advisory. The buck, pardon the phrase, stops with the people telling Joe Biden what to do. That's what actually happens here. That's the reality of it.
No doubt. And if we've learned anything, by the way, since 2020, and I'm not sure, by the way, how much we even learned since 2020. You and I have learned a lot. Our listeners have learned a lot. I'm not sure a lot of people out there have learned very much at all. But we do know that a powerful immune system matters a great deal. And that's why we tell you all about Texas Superfood. It's the original superfood. Dr. Black has created 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes. You can help build your body's defense from the inside out. We know the immune system's job. What is it? To detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with. Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. And your grandma told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, a lot of people don't, which is why Texas Superfood is the safety net for the American diet. Buck, how do you get hooked up with Texas Superfood today?
So easy, folks. Just go to TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. You can start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. So if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you, the safety net for the American diet. Make sure you get those nutrients every day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. Welcome back to Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Remember, if you missed any part of the show, the podcast, please subscribe to the podcast. Hour by hour, it is up each of the 3 hours you do the show. Plus, I believe we have a best of going up every day now, too. If you want to just listen to 1 hour and catch the flavor of the whole extravaganza we put on every day. Wherever you listen to podcasts, the iHeart app, a great place to do it. And remember to go into clayandbuck.com. Transcripts of the show. Please become an EIB 24/7 member as well. Okay, we have a lot of people in the media very freaked out about one COVID case. One COVID case in particular. That's the one that's, oh my gosh. And it is my favorite NFL player. Perhaps the greatest NFL player of all time. And I don't even know who else would. I mean, This guy, I remember there was a Joe Montana video game a long time ago, so I feel like Aaron Rodgers or Joe Montana, Clay. That's my...
Some people would say Tom Brady, but
oh,
yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, and he's cool, too. I like him. So I need Aaron Rodgers jersey, Tom Brady. I've never owned a professional sports jersey, but I'm going to start buying Rodgers jerseys now because, you know, he's just not backing down off this thing, and they are just coming after him from all over the place, saying that he put people at risk. Oh, my gosh, he put people at risk. Look, if he was walking around coughing everywhere, knew he had COVID and refused to stay away from people, you know, maybe you could say that's a little bit irresponsible. But having natural immunity and going about your life and not getting immunized does not mean you're being reckless at all. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar calls out Aaron Rodgers here, of course.
Rodgers deliberately misled his team and the public with a liable mission. And those type of lies really are the type of things that destroy confidence. So as a liar, how can he be trusted to endorse products? Worse, he's damaged the image of professional athletes as role models and potentially hurt their financial opportunities as spokesperson.
Clay, I know that there are professional athletes who have killed people, have abused their spouses, drunk driving, all these things. This is what's going to tarnish the image of professional sports? Give me a break.
This is so utterly ridiculous. Like, I am the sports guy here, right? I could give you 1,000, probably, almost, if you let me sit here long enough, athletes that have done things that have legitimately been crimes, that have legitimately devalued the overall brand of their sport, their team, their league. Just in the last 10 days, the Las Vegas Raiders had a player driving 156 miles an hour while twice the blood alcohol level, drunk, kill a woman in Las Vegas. And people are angrier that Aaron Rodgers doesn't believe he needs a COVID vaccine than they are at people who commit actual crimes. And this has been something that's symptomatic, Buck, of a larger issue, which is we wildly overpunish words. And we wildly underpunish, in my experience, actions. We've got it backwards because of social media. Aaron Rodgers would have been better off. Think about how crazy this is, Buck. Aaron Rodgers would have been better off to drive drunk than he would to say, hey, I didn't want to get the COVID vaccine because I don't think it's necessary for me.
Think about how crazy that is. Does he go against the narrative, Clay, the orthodoxy of the left? That is the unforgivable sin. If you go with that, then a lot of things, you know, maybe you kill a few people in a bar fight, you know, all of a sudden that's,
you
know.
Who among us hasn't nearly killed a man in a bar fight? That's the way that the sports media will respond. And this is one of the things that I was on the front edge of, Buck. The sports media is more left-wing than the political media, which blows people's
minds. That is terrifying.
Which is how, yeah, Aaron Rodgers got eviscerated like he did. I got to tell you, it's time to save money. How many of you would like to have an extra $12,000 in a year? What difference could that make for you or your family? How about an extra $1,000 a month? How about being able to skip your November and your December, maybe even your January mortgage payments? How much could that help you get your financial house back in order? If all that sounds really appetizing to you, you need to hook up our friends at American Financing. You can call them right now at 800-777-8109. That's 800-777-8109. You can also visit AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLS consumeraccess.org. Save $12,000 a year. All you got to do is one phone call, 800-777-8109.
Get all of the hottest interviews and segments with the free Clay and Buck in a Hurry email newsletter. Delivered directly to your inbox, you'll receive Clay and Buck's take on all the stories that matter most. The Clay and Buck in a Hurry email. Sign up today for free at clayandbuck.com.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Just talking off the air about our buddy Alex Berenson, who has been banned by Twitter for saying everything that has turned out to be true, including a story Buck and I were just talking about in the LA Times a few days over, but it's from their science section. And when the LA Times is writing a story that the headline is, study shows dramatic decline in effectiveness of all three COVID-19 vaccines over time, Well, that's what we told you the data had been showing us since. When did we have Alex in studio with us in New York? Right before he got banned. July, August?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that was what the data was showing in July. What we have told our audience out there is, hey, we've been months ahead of where the mainstream media is going to end up just by looking at the data, not because we're geniuses, but just by looking at the data in Israel, by looking at the data in Europe. And that's why we're not that optimistic that it's going to be a very good winter here in the United States.
A little disappointing to see here that, first of all, the over the 8 month study from this LA Times piece, this pretty broad study they did. I mean, your vaccine protection after 8 months basically goes down to 50%, which is roughly what you get with the flu shot. Okay. So we're at, after 8 months, you're at flu shot level, but for the J&J vaccine,
J&J.
What is the fast food chain, Clay, that you're like the least excited to go into? Cause you're like, I don't know about the food safety handling in here.
Oh, whatever. That's a great.
Yeah. Whatever that would be, that's where the J&J vaccine equivalent drops down to 13%, which, let's just be clear, that is not epidemiologically significant enough for anybody to think is really protection, right? 13%. If I told you, you might get bubonic plague, this would give you about a 10% chance of not, or more chance of not getting it. You wouldn't be like, oh, I'm fine. So this
is bad
news. Well,
it's even funnier to think the other way. You would still have a 90% chance, basically, of getting COVID after taking the J&J vaccine 8 months later, right?
It's not exactly what people thought they were signing up.
Which is why the NBA is mandating now a booster for, like, if you were an NBA player, Buck, you would count as unvaccinated now. You would have to go get a booster for the J&J.
Well, I mean, the J&J, though, it's not mRNA technology, right? So a lot of people, you had one shot, and it's not this new technology that people have, more questions and perhaps concerns about. It's more traditional, but it just goes to show you, it drops all the way down because it mutates rapidly. We have, and I know we got to talk about Morgan Ortegas filleting the lies of Adam Schiff on TV in a second, but we have a template for what we're dealing with, which is, how do we deal with cold and how do you deal with flu viruses as a society on a regular basis? There are things you do. You stay away if you're sick. Flu shots exist, but we don't shut everything down and everyone panic. COVID was more dangerous than the flu. It is now, if you get the shot in particular, but in general as well, close to what you'd be dealing with in a flu situation. So we go back to life. That's what we should do.
This, all right, Morgan Ortegas. I don't know her at all.
She was Pompeo's chief of comms, essentially, at the State Department under Trump, yeah.
Okay, so she was on The View, and they had Adam Schiff on, and everybody out there will remember Adam Schiff, of all the congresspeople, senators, anybody in the country, an elected official. I think it's fair to say he was probably the foremost proponent of the idea of Russia collusion. Would you agree with that of any congressman or senator?
The biggest liar in Congress about Russia collusion, the most shameless liar, Adam Schiff. Yes.
Okay. So Adam Schiff does media all the time. It's all kid gloves. Nobody ever asks him real questions. And he probably thought that he was rolling into The View where they have that idiot Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. I don't even know who's still on The View, but there are very few people who actually have functional brains. And so he probably thought that he was going in for a nice, happy-go-lucky interview. And then I just want to play you these two interviews because these two questions. Schiff's responses are awful, but if you believe that it is the job of people who are asking questions to hold officials in positions of power to the height of their responsibility, listen to these two questions. Morgan Ortegas absolutely fillets Adam Schiff. Listen to these.
So I want to ask you about something that's in the news a lot right now. You've been really prolific over the past few years being the head of the Intel Committee, and you've defended, promoted, you even read into the congressional record the Steele dossier. And we know last week the main source of the dossier was indicted by the FBI for lying about most of the key claims in that dossier. Do you have any reflections on your role in promoting this to the American people? And to be clear, he was fired halfway through the campaign. But you may have helped spread Russian disinformation yourself for years by promoting this. I think that's what Republicans and what people who entrusted you as the Intel Committee Chair are so confused about your culpability in all of this. No, I think just your credibility is.
Well, I mean, he didn't have any real answers.
No.
We could play the answers, but just so you know, his actual responses were along the lines of, oh, but Trump did bad things with pardoning people, or
yes.
Unlike the other administration, it was all deflection. He has nothing now. All along it was, oh, well, there's what we can't prove we don't know, or, you know, there's what we don't know for sure if we don't have the answer. It was all just smoke and mirrors and bullcrap. Adam Schiff was the little evil prince of bullcrap. He was the Prince Joffrey of it. And here we have him now finally caught on this. And unfortunately, Democrat voters, for them, it was a useful anti-Trump maneuver. So they don't care that it was all lies. I think a lot of people knew, Clay. It was all kind of a, you know, wink and a nod that Trump really colluded with Russia to steal the election. The whole thing was so stupid from the beginning. The president actually, well, former president, told me in the Oval Office. Never forget this. I was down there the first time I sat down with the president in the Oval in 2018. He's just like, Russia collusion. It's not even a good idea. It wouldn't even work. Like, it's crazy. It is true.
Well, I mean, it's funny because the only way it worked is if it influenced voters. So there's another step beyond the collusion itself, because the collusion itself had to lead to voters changing their opinion in the election based on the success of the collusion. So it wasn't even a direct response thing. It still would have required another step, right? So it's not even a very efficient idea of collusion or conspiracy or whatever you want to label it. But what I found the most fascinating about that interplay we just played is how rare it is for a person in position of power to actually sit for an interview in any way where they are challenged about the lies that they have told. It almost never happens.
One of the big problems we have in the media right now is that it has become completely normalized for people to never have to actually defend the things that they say. They never are actually challenged on it. And that's become something that now, I mean, you know, you will not turn on CNN or MSNBC and see a person who will actually make the case for the other side in a meaningful way. If anything, you'll just get clay pigeons. But this is true all over the place. Clay pigeons meaning people that go on TV just to get obliterated and look stupid. They'll do this at some places. Or they'll have Republicans whose only job is to hate Republicans and hate
Trump.
Yeah,
like the Lincoln Project.
Yeah, Lincoln Project, which the whole thing is a sham and a scam. Everybody should just know at this point, the left-wing media has an abusive relationship with the truth. Russia collusion has proved that. And it's up to all of you to not actually allow that abusive relationship to continue by giving them any credibility. They deserve scorn. They do not deserve to be trusted. They are not journalists. They are not ethical. They are a propaganda machine meant for the perpetuation of the socialist revolution that's going on right now in our very own midst. That's really what they do.
And they don't ever get held to account for it. That's what's so crazy is not only are they a propaganda machine that spreads lies, they reward each other. They give each other Pulitzers. They have all these fancy events where they all get together, and there's absolutely no acknowledgement of the lies that they spread. They're so focused on the idea of sowing disinformation and of discord in democracy, and they refuse to look in the mirror and recognize that they are the ones that cause it. You know, Buck, Relief Factor, 100% drug-free product, addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. My wife uses it. Your dad uses it. It's created by doctors based on scientific research. Helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes to directly to the source of your inflammation, which is why hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and 70% of them go on to order more. And right now, you can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. How do they do it, Buck?
All they have to do is go to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com, or call this phone number, 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF. To get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you, go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, feel the difference. Thanks for being along with us here today on the Clay and Buck Show. Appreciate you rolling with. We'll be back with you, obviously, tomorrow. And we have some Very interesting stuff already planned for you. We think about the show all the time. We're not on air. We're thinking about when we will be on air. We've got Dr. Marty McCarry tomorrow joining us to talk about the vax mandate for kids, or just vaccines for kids in general, possible mandates. And then also we will talk to him a bit about what's going on with these vaccines fading so quickly, and how rapidly are the boosters going to be able to address what seems to be rising cases in places like rising hospitalizations, I should add, in a place like California right now. So we'll certainly spend some time on that. We got a lot of lines lit. We wanted to get to some of your thoughts today here before we let you go about your day. John in North Carolina is an Army vet. What's up, John? Thank you for your service.
Hey, man. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I've been listening to EIB since the 90s when Rush was still alive. I mean, for God's sakes, it was on CNN radio in Texas. But the whole point of my call was, if people don't pay attention and don't understand the Constitution, we're going to lose our rights. And we already have lost a lot of them.
Well, people are definitely trading false promises of security for their freedom when it comes to COVID, John. That's been a mainstay, unfortunately, of Fauciism all along.
The number of people out there, Buck, and John as well, who continue to say, take more of my freedoms away. They're begging for the government to take more of their freedoms away, has frankly been something staggering that I would have never been able to forecast in a pre-COVID world. I'm still overwhelmed by it. Regulate me harder, government. There's a huge segment of the population that wants that to happen.
People think it's going to make them safer, and unfortunately, they're giving up their freedom and not safer in the process either. John, thanks for calling in from North Carolina. Let's get Al in Rochester, New York. Al, what's going on?
Hi. Regarding Mayor Pete and his calling bridges and roads racial in nature, I grew up on Long Island, right by the Southern State Parkway, which was his main kind of discussion there. And I will say that we could take a bus to the beach. We didn't need to be on that highway. There were other ways to get to the beach, public buses, and we did that back in the 1960s, and people did it right through the 1970s.
So Al, yep. You're telling us the racist roads thing, which people get from the biography of Robert Moses by Caro, the power broker, you're telling us that you're not buying that? Because I've heard other people criticize that analysis, too.
No, I don't buy it at all. Those parkways on Long Island built by Moses, the intention was not to have any trucks or commercial vehicles, period.
Yeah.
No tractor trailers, no buses, not even school buses. It was strictly for cars.
All right. Well, there we go.
Thank you,
Al,
for the call.
Yeah. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. Jason in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. I work for a county, Hillsborough County, here in Florida, and things aren't always so great, as we do love our governor. But right now, I've been told I cannot return to work because I refuse to test, and I refuse to upload weekly tests and or monthly tests. I've already had COVID. I had monoclonal antibodies. But I look at this as strictly Fourth Amendment right. I serve the country. I know the Constitution stands. Oaths do not expire. The problem is that they have told me I can't come to work, but I have to use my own leave time.
How much leave time do you have?
About 2 weeks. So I've burned up about a week right now.
So in 1 week, you would no longer have a job?
No, I'd be on unpaid leave at that point.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
How long could you afford to be on unpaid leave?
Oh, maybe 2 weeks max.
Okay. This is a question that I think we get from a lot of people out there, right? He's in Tampa talking about this situation. But what do you do if you believe the vaccine mandate is unconstitutional, it's being applied to you, and you are refusing to submit to it? And that's a decision That's why I wanted to ask his financial situation, because some people can just afford to say, a minority of people, hey, I'm retiring, I'm out of here,
or I'm not rich. Do this some anymore. People will just say I'm rich enough where, you know, they can stand up and be like, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to just.
Which is why I've said that, you know, rich people saying that is helpful, right? I mean, there have been a lot of celebrities. I'll give you an example recently. Ice Cube. Ice Cube said, hey, to be on this movie, you have to get the vaccine. He said, I'm not getting the vaccine. He walked away from a $9 million job.
Emilio Estevez apparently off Mighty Ducks, but he says that's a standard contract thing, not a vaccine thing. I'm not I mean, that sounds a little, I haven't dug that deep into it, but I really, thank you so much, by the way, for calling in, Jason.
We don't have an easy answer for these guys because it goes to your individual circumstances, right? I tell people, don't quit a job if you don't think you have another way to get a job, because as stressful as it is to try to pay your mortgage or be responsible for your kids, if you have a job, if you don't have a job, it just goes to a next level.
Don't charge the machine gun nest just to get mowed down, folks. Always got to think about what the strategy is you're using. Do you have a chance of achieving some form of success? But I got to ask you, Clay, the best Emilio Estevez movie of all time.
Young Guns.
That's the right answer. Damn it. David Travis, that's the
right
answer.
Young Guns is so good.
I thought you were going to go Mighty Ducks, Mr. Sportsman.
No,
Young Guns is the correct answer to that question. Which
Young Guns 1 and 2 were both. Kiefer Sutherland was also great in Young Guns.
I owned Young Guns on VHS. We watched it so many times as a family that we all could do all the lines from it over and over again. That's Lou Diamond Phillips' best film. I'll throw that in there. Charlie Sheen, very solid.
The arm. Do you remember when he gets the knife through his arm?
I remember all of it, man. I remember I just saw it yesterday.
By the way, good news as we finish off here, since we try to be happy Warriors, Miami-Dade County doing away with any mask mandate. If you have kids in Miami-Dade County public schools, it's now parental choice. Free state of Florida, another big dub.
All the Americans who are looking for more freedom, who are heading down to Florida, I don't know, they're going to tip Florida, they're going to tip it over at some point. The panhandle's going to flop, can't handle all the pressure. So thank you for joining us today, folks. Thanks for coming down and listening to us. We appreciate it. Please tell folks to download the show if they haven't heard us before. Give Clay and Buck a shot. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Talk to you then.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.